vices. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to go through verses 1 through 11 out of the NIV. NIV, the New Intelligent Version. Oh, that's not what it means. NIV. Are we recording, sir? I want to welcome those of you on the podcast to the House of Manna. I believe this will be the message that will help you to understand what has been attacking your finances. We'll begin reading out of Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 out of the NIV. And when you're there and you have it, say amen. Read it, please. Will you read it? We ready? I know we can go through the old religious things. How many of you grew up in the church where they said, we'll give honor to the word of God, stand for the reading of God's word? How many of you been through that? You know how you honor God's word?
Read it.
Do it.
Do it. Yeah, you do it.
Do it. Do the word. Don't be just hearers, be doers. Amen? So I want you to just prepare your hearts. You can do it sitting down.
Okay,
it's okay.
Thank you.
It's all right. If you would begin reading verse 1 through 11 out of the NIV, if you have it on your phone, you ready?
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Ms. Colleen.
In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem.
Stop right there. Where did they come from? Where did the news come from?
Exile.
Judah.
Judah.
Amen. The brothers came from where?
Judah.
Look to your neighbor and say, Judah.
Judah.
I want you to remember Judah.
Judah.
Go ahead, verse 3.
They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love and those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you today, day and night. For the servants, the people of Israel, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by the great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in your revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. We honor it by doing your word. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but never putting the word to use into our life. Let us have an understanding. I ask for the illumination of your word and revelation of your word. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Turn with me. Go to the right. Go to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Go ahead, Colleen, please.
In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Antaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?
Hold on right there. When you go before the presence of the king, before any king, you are not to have a sad countenance. You are to have a joyous countenance. In other words, you should be smiling even though you don't feel like smiling. Do you know why? Because in the presence of a king, if you were to show any kind of disgratitude towards the king, you would be killed. You understand that? So when we come into the house of God, we may carry some things that kind of have us a little upset or have us a little down. Just start smiling. Just start smiling because you're in the presence of the king. When two or three are gathered in his name, where is he? He is there in the midst. He is there. Are you hearing me? When you come into the presence of the king, God the Father, you should begin to feel something changing, transforming within your spirit. What you came in is about to be left at the altar, and you're about to leave different, transformed, and renewed, even by the renewing of your mind. Something is about to shift. We are coming into the presence of the king. Amen? There's that shift. Thank you. Continue reading.
The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors were buried, so that I can rebuild it."
Rebuild what?
The city.
Where?
In Judah.
Judah. Amen. Continue on.
Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time.
Uh-oh. Who set the time?
I, or Nehemiah.
Who set the time? Oh, my wife got it. She got it. She got it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You go before the presence of the king and the one that you are serving. He is the cupbearer, and he goes before the king. He has a sad countenance. But what happens is, instead of being judged for what he is going through, he asks him, "What do you want?" And then it says that he prayed to God. But you don't see the prayer. I believe he was praying in his mind, because God knows all your thoughts. And so then the king says, "What is it that you want? So I could go back and repair the walls in Judah." In Judah. And then he asked them, "How long?" Who set the time? Nehemiah set the time. Do you know that you can set the time to the season that you're going through by making a determination that if I go before God first as the king, that I'm going to put everything in his hands, and I can set the time when I'm coming out? Yeah. How long I'm going to be in this thing? Do you know that your season that you're in is not dictated by a clock or a calendar? Is dictated by the revelation knowledge of your season. I set the time. Continue reading.
I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy." And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request.
Watch this. You have to know. You have to know that God has his hand on you. How are you going to know that God has his hand on you if you're not spending time with God? I don't want to teach today, but it seems like we meander through our Christian walk and we don't really put to use our time in worship, our time that we spend with God in his presence, so that we can come out of our closets, come out of that place, and know that the hand of God is on our life. That you can now ask the king that should have killed you and say, "What is it you want? Oh, by the way, I'm going to go someplace. I'm not going to do what you've asked me to do anymore. I'm going to go do what my God in heaven has asked me to do. And by the way, when I go over there, I need you to give me a few letters so that I won't get stopped along the way." Yeah. Oh, I'm just going.
So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry.
Oh, hold up. Not only, see, all you were doing for a minute, that's a good sized cup right here. Good sized cup. That's a big old glass of wine right there. For some of y'all, that's Calm down. That's afterwards. Okay. So, all he was doing was holding a cup, tasting just a little bit to make sure that he wasn't going to die for the king. That was his position, a lowly position. But now, because he hears word about Judah, that the walls have been burnt down and the gates have caught on fire. From the position that he was holding a cup, now he can walk and now ask and require of the king, give me the letters, give me provisions, and send me some men as well. Look, Asia, they're not kidding it, Asia. That means not only am I leaving my post, I'm getting promoted with provision and protection. Amen. To where I'm going. He's sending us someplace. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites.
Oh, Lord. Who got upset? Say it with me now. Sanballat and Tobiah. Thank you for the reading of that gracious word and setting something inside of me on fire for what I believe is about to be the greatest turn of events for the body of Christ. When you find something that has been holding things back, you now expose it and get rid of it. Yo, Lord, y'all just playing with God. Oh, the month of Kislev is when he gets the report. He gets this report, but you have to understand that every name and everything in the Bible has meaning. Kislev is a month of darkness, a month of dreams, and a month of hope. When are you going to get insight to what you're going through is going to be in your darkest seasons. Because in your darkest seasons is when you start paying more attention to God. If you happen to be the type of spooky person like me, if you're in a dark place by yourself, everything gets magnified by sound. But if it's during the day, you don't pay attention to the sounds that are around you until it gets dark. But what if you were to pay attention to your own sound that comes out in your darkest hours? In your darkest hours, you begin to incline your ears to God. So the month of Kislev, he gets a bad report about Judah. And now it's the darkest hours. But why is it a month of dreams? Have you guys been having a lot of dreams? Do you need them interpreted? You need them interpreted? Because some of them you think it's pizza. Some of them you think, I watched the movie, you know. I had a dream last week. I was telling Colleen when I saw her and Josh walk in. It reminded me of the dream. I said, it was good. It was real good. But we're having dreams concerning our future, concerning our direction, concerning what he's going to do and what he's promised. That is the month of Kislev. That's when it comes. The plans for God's purpose may come in your darkest hours, but it comes in your dreams. Because you've been laboring to enter his rest. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 11, out of the New Living Translation. When you have it, Colleen, read, please. 1 through 11. Hebrews 4, 1 through 11, New Living Translation. And when you got to say amen, we got a few. When you got a calling, just go.
God's promise of entering his rest still stands, so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, "In my anger I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest." Even though this rest has been ready since he made the world.
When was it ready?
Since he made the world.
What rest? His rest. All right. It was made ready for us. Go ahead. Verse 4.
We know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, "They will never enter my place of rest." So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God.
Why did they not enter the rest?
Because they disobeyed.
Oh, Lord. Have you ever heard God say to do something and you didn't do it? Has your spirit been troubled?
Yes.
Have you had a hard time sleeping at night because of it? Yes, because we disobey God. We labor to enter into his rest because we haven't obeyed. Start obeying God, even if he says for you to put on the red shirt and not the blue shirt. Put on the blue shirt instead of the green shirt. You don't think God is particular about these things, but maybe in that season of your life, he's trying to do something to teach you how to hear his command. Do what he says to do so that we can enter his rest. Continue reading.
So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today.
When?
Today.
What day?
Today.
Every day that ends in what? Why? Today. Today. Woo! He set that time for today. You're about to enter to some rest, and you're about to experience something that is going to transform your mind to the mind of Christ. You're not going to labor to enter his rest anymore. You're going to know that it's provided for you. You're going to obey God in all things that he tells you to do. And if you don't want to do it, you're going to learn how the heavy hand of God is going to come on you to make you surrender to what he wants you to do. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, no, we ain't done. Go ahead.
God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice.
What day?
Today.
What are you going to hear?
His voice.
All right. Thank you.
Don't harden your heart.
Say it again.
Don't harden your heart.
Say it again.
Don't harden your heart.
Say it again.
Don't harden your heart.
Say it one more again.
Don't harden your heart.
Say it again.
Don't harden your heart.
Don't what?
Harden your heart.
Don't harden your heart because of the season that you're in. Don't harden your heart because you don't like, it's cold outside. I could have been under my covers, nice and warm, had my little, foot of booties on to be nice and warm. I don't want to get out. Cold front came in. Please. Oh, you get a chance to put on now these scarves and all this nice fur and stuff. Get to church.
Amen.
These are for those of you on the podcast that say, I can fellowship with God. I got my own relationship with God. Good. Now get to the assembly with the people of God because there's where your blessing is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Continue reading.
Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God.
Read that one more again.
Okay. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall.
Look, now I'm going to go through and just kind of recap for you. Nehemiah receives a message concerning the walls that have been burnt, the doors that have been, the gates that have been burnt down. So he gets word during this month, he gets the bad news. He gets provisions after he repents. He goes before the king and favor is shown. Now, all of this is taking place, and we read in the previous chapter that after he gets all of the letters and he begins to move towards the promise of God, you have two individuals that get very upset. They get indignant towards him. They get so upset that they begin to attack the promise. Now, you have to understand that this particular spirit comes to attack you because he doesn't want the plan of God to succeed. Sanballat comes to attack promise. Sanballat comes also to deal with things in your life to make you give up and to make you quit. Sanballat is a secret hater. Gets close enough to you to make you feel that it's part of the church, part of the clan, speaks the good things to you, but only to get close to you. You want to keep your enemies close so that you know their intentions. So Sanballat wanted to keep things close to you to make you feel comfortable. A wolf that comes into the sheepfold, the crazy thing is, why didn't the sheep notice the wolf? Because a wolf really can't change its clothes. I know we read the scripture, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Let's really think about that just for a minute. Have you ever seen a wolf change to a sheep? Have you ever seen a wolf go on and take off? Because I know we've seen in cartoons, because this is my imagination here, where the wolf just takes off the wolf's clothes and puts on the sheep and it's nice and white, real pretty. But then nobody else recognized it because the discernment was not there. So we have lost some things that have transpired in the body of Christ. And there is such a thing where wolves can come in the midst of the sheep and the sheep don't mind. How can that be, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Stand with me. A wolf is going to go through every action and everything that you're doing just so that it would look like a sheep. You're going to praise God, hallelujah, do your yeah, yeah. I want to hear you shout. Come on, I want to hear you shout. Hello?
Yeah.
Do your praise thing.
Yeah!
That's it. Now, what a wolf is going to do is going to mimic the very actions. Go up, hands up, you're praising. Yeah! Now, start doing how you normally do. Just come on. I know y'all watch her. Some of you on the podcast, what's going on? I wish we had, live cast. We will. We're getting there. Sometimes you want to get into that speaker. I hear her in my chambers above the music. And she don't have a microphone. Can you do it one more time? One more time. Woman of God. Screaming one more time. Yeah. That's not how she does it. Do you need some music that will help you a little bit? Okay, let's do it again. Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Come on, let's turn that up a little bit. Let's just turn that up a little bit. Come on, because when you're fighting something, you don't come in and just kind of patty cake a little bit. You have to get something worked up deep inside of you. Has something been opposing you so much that wants to keep you from God's promise and provision? But sometimes you gotta get that praise back on.
Because Judah represents praise. And Judah had suffered loss, and praise was taken out. So when he heard the report, he went before God. But sometimes you got to know that what's inside of you has to come up and out. And your praise has to come from deep down inside. Deep down inside. You ever been through something and your praise just makes you just shake your weave off, make your earrings come all the way out? And when you start going through some stuff, even your eyelashes get a little crooked. You start having that makeup come down a little bit. You got some stuff that is going on. Because you got to get deep down inside. Deep down inside. And you got to let it out. You got to let it out. What the enemy wants to do is steal your praise. Steal your praise and your provision. Sanballat came to take the praise from the people of Israel. So when the report came that the walls had been breached and burnt down, the report came from the brothers from Judah. Why was that so important? Judah was allotted the position in the wilderness to be at the east portion of the tabernacle. And if you understand history and how you position the doors of the church, should always face east. Who is at the very front of that door? The tribe of Judah. Why do y'all start with praise? We should start with worship first and then go into praise later. You can't negate the order of God. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. You come in with praise. Praise isn't a song. Praise is giving thanks unto him for what he's already done. It's not a tempo. It's not a lyric. It is you praising God for who he is. Now, watch this. That position was being attacked in the body of Christ. But when there was an allotment of 12 tribes, 3 tribes took the position on each side of the tabernacle, which formed a cross. The first 3 tribes, Judah, which is at the front of the gate. Oh, Lord. I need you to understand this. Judah is directly in front of the gate of the entrance. And behind Judah is Moses and Aaron and his sons. Are you hearing this? What does Moses represent? The prophetic of God and the priestly anointing with Aaron, that praise must go before the prophetic comes and before the priest can minister. You haven't even entered into the door, which is Jesus. You haven't even entered into the tabernacle yet. You still got to go through everything that's been allocated for us to do. Judah is praise. Now, to the right of Judah is Zebulun. I'm going to read this out of Genesis 30:20. Leah exclaims, God hath endowed me with good dowry. What is dowry? Money. What suggests the derivation of Zebulun? Watch this. From Zebhada, to bestow. Being replaced by, again, says, now my husband would dwell with me or honor me. So Zebulun means provision of finances and honor. Are you getting that? Provision and honor. Now, to the left of Judah was Issachar. Issachar means reward. And the prophetic understanding of the times. So when they said that the report came from Judah,
that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down and burnt, the report came from Judah. Why is that something that you have to have an understanding of? Because the spirit of Sanballat and Tobias has come to make you quit your praise, make you lose the timing and understanding of God, and to miss your provisions. He messes with your money. Sanballat comes to come against the plan of God, the promise of God, and to make you quit. He messes with your mind. Now, Tobias is a demon spirit that comes from Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel is present, then the spirit of Tobiah is present as well. It allows you to worship God, but will make you to be a financial wreckage and in a financial mess. Are you hearing this? Well, Pastor, I make a lot of money. Hold up now. You need to understand that your promotion that God wants to get you to is more than where you're at right now. Don't get comfortable where you're at. He's going to challenge you. He's going to stretch you. He's going to make sure you learn to trust him in all things, because he wants to get more to you and through you for his purpose. Amen. Watch this. This particular spirit has taken residence in the church treasuries. Did you? Church treasuries. This spirit puts himself and makes himself very comfortable in it. This spirit sits in the innermost room where tithes, offerings, and sacrifices, and where the anointing oil is resident. Are you hearing this? I want to make sure this podcast is up today. The reason why I share this with you is this spirit comes to start messing with your provisions. It comes to start messing with your anointing. Are you hearing this? It comes to mess with your sacrifice. So Sanballat and Tobiah come as part of an authoritative role in the thing that God has called you to do, to make you lose your focus and begin to not recognize that the wolf has come in, because it's taking the very form of a god and you don't recognize it as a false deity. This is what's been crippling many churches. You can have a great praise team, all these kind of great things you can have in your church, but if you don't deal with the spirit and where it's hiding, it'll cripple you from the inside out. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite servant, and Geshem the Arab heard about this, they made fun of us and ridiculed us. They asked, "What are you doing? Are you going to rebel against the king?" What is this talking about? This is that I am going to make it seem like you're out of order by doing what God said to do. Have you ever made a decision to follow after God, but the people of God that you used to be connected with challenge your decision? Because they don't want you to get to where you need to be, out of fear. You need to be obedient to God. To God. Not man, but to God. Amen? Tobiah means God is good. Haven't you had people quote you scripture and do all the things that looks like God but has nothing to do with God? I've been there. I've seen it. I have seen it, and I've seen it wreck people's lives. I've seen them come in and do so much damage to people that it is ridiculous. And people don't even discern that it's a spirit. Tobiah, after the rebuilding of the wall, and after everything was set in its place, this spirit moved right on in, because this spirit could not do what Sanballat was trying to do. So it waited for the completion and waited for it to be fulfilled, then moved right on in to the completed work. Watch. Tobias, this was in, excuse me a second. Technology is good when it works. There it goes. Okay. Tobias, after everything had been built, everything had been put into place, now things are in order, and then Nehemiah goes back to his position, back to the king. Now everything has been accomplished, now gets back and becomes the cupbearer once again. After he does that, he hears another report that everything is not following the instructions as before. Goes back now to do an investigation of what's taking place. And guess who he finds in the treasury? Tobias. Before this, Eliashib, the priest, had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings, the incense, and the temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil prescribed for the Levites, as well as the contributions for the priest. Do you see that this spirit? The spirit of Tobiah will get into the treasury, get into the oil, get into the new wine, gets into the revelation that is not of God, but acts like it's God, to begins to formulate now a doctrine that is not of God, but because we're not discerning it, we're not following it, and we're just doing everyday church. But we're not changing. Come on. This spirit comes after your money. This spirit comes after your anointing. This spirit wants to come and take you out before your time. This spirit wants to make sure that you don't actually step into that rightful place. This spirit wants to not only take out provisions, it wants to take you completely out and wants to make resident where most of your treasure is. The Bible says this about your heart. Where's your treasure? In your heart. Now, I know some of you in here, because you're so holy, you walk around as the high priest of your home. You give your tithes. You give your offering. You lead your family in worship. You lead your family in prayer, in Bible study. But something just isn't clicking. Something has a tendency to go wrong at times. It has nothing to do with what's in your life. It has to do what is in the atmosphere and where you're making sacrifice. Are you hearing this? There is a spirit that wants to take your sacrifice that you're giving unto God and take it and make it become foul. Now, when I read this, I said, God, wait a minute. You said that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake. Has something come into your life that you want to use that scripture and say, wait a minute, you said that if I give my tithes unto you and bring it unto the storehouse, that you will open up the windows of heaven, pour out such a blessing that there's not enough room to contain it, and that you would rebuke the devourer for my sake? But how come some things are happening in my life that don't make sense? He said that there's something that has had access to where your treasure is, and you haven't recognized that it's still there. We've been walking around with something that doesn't want to let go of your soul. Spiritual soul ties. They're called spiritual soul ties because they come in a form of spirituality. And we get so connected. You know, the most prayers that I pray over people that come to this church are spiritual soul ties. And they come from other leaders in the church. It's not a bad thing. You just haven't realized you have to let it go. I have pastors that I sat under and I learned from. They were great. They were fathers in my life. But every time I moved, I had to realize that I had to let go of some things that were not right. Because there was something always connecting me back to that ministry that wasn't right. See, good things produce good fruit, but bad things produce bad fruit. And we got to break some spiritual soul ties so that whatever we're sowing and sacrificing into, we're going to receive the good harvest. But there's some things that are hidden in our heart and in our spirit, our soul, that is not good. We go through every season of our life trying to figure out why haven't things changed? Why are we still facing the same thing we're facing? Because something has made residence in your sacrifice. Something has made residence within you, and you don't even realize that it's there. Are you hearing this? There's a spirit that wants to discourage. It's a secret hater. And then there's another one that waits until things get accomplished and are built. Maybe your ministry is already taken off. Not going to show itself right away. But step into that place of provision and in a position to lead a people. Watch what begins to manifest. Jealousy, hatred, bitterness, and unforgiveness towards you. Have you ever seen that take place in your life? And all you're doing is just doing what God told you to do. And the moment you step right into that provision and you start stepping towards your destiny and towards the plan of God in your life, something shows up to take your money, your provisions, and everything that God has just given you. See, the thing is about this spirit, Tobias was associated with the clan that went to curse Israel. Was to go and release a curse, but every time the curse was released, God turned it around and made it a blessing. So every season of your life when a curse seems to come upon you, you better start looking around because that curse is about to turn into a blessing, and what was holding you down and what was keeping you from going forward is now about to come manifest because this spirit has been found out. This spirit of Tobiah is going to get kicked out of the treasury, kicked out of a place where it made residence in your life because your money and your blessing is not just yours. It's for the kingdom of God and those that are yet to be born. Judah is about praise. Judah is about position. Judah is about to enter in people to the very presence of God. We can't miss this. For those of you that are going through a season of your life where you're dependent on one thing, a check. Take your focus off of that check. Now, you know, I've had people tell Pastor and I this, that I can't do what you do. I got to know at the end of the week, I know exactly what's coming in. Amen. Great. That's good. I wish I could be there. I wish I could say, this week, this is how much we're making, Mama. We're making this much this week. You can count it. Pay the bills. Pay the bills.
But what about when you have to do it by faith? When he doesn't reveal to you everything. When all he does is just give you a glimpse. Faith requires you to look beyond what you see now. For somebody, I don't know who I'm preaching this to, but you've been stretched. Financially, you've been stretched. You have felt like this isn't going to take place. I can't do this no more. I need to know what's coming in so I know what needs to go out. But guess what God is about to do? He's going to remove some things in your life that's placed a barrier there for you to receive your blessing. Yes, you're a blessed person. You're a blessed man, woman of God, child of God. You are blessed in that area. But do you know that God stops giving when you quit providing a resource for him to put in? I had this pastor tell me one time, are you ready for God to bless you? Yes. How many bank accounts you have? None. I got, remember Telecheck? You know, check right, Telecheck. You made a bad check. You ain't can't write no more until you get it taken care of. Well, it happened to me quite a few times. Bad steward. My wife would tell me, every time you go to the grocery store, you don't even look at prices. No, I look at what I want to eat, and that's what I'm going to eat, and that's what I'm going to buy. That's it. I wasn't frugal with my money. I just started spending it. I used to tell my mom, Mom, I need those shoes. I want those shoes. I ain't got no money. I know, but you got checks. Because every time you take the checkbook out and you write a check, I get what I want. So I grew up thinking that. I didn't understand that there had to be value, something inside the bank that can cover what was being written. Are you hearing me? Something had to cover with value what was being written on that check. Here's what I want to tell you. The value system of God is, he's backing everything that you need. Here's what the Bible says about God, is that he has cattle on 1,000 hills, right? Have you heard that in the scripture? My daddy owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And I quote it all the time, Dad, you're the God that owns cattle on 1,000 hills. And one day I hit the brakes real hard. Cattle are not up on the hills. Think about it. Where's the cattle at? Where? Down in the valley. But why would he say that my dad owns a cattle on 1,000 hills? So that we can keep looking up to the God that can provide for us, even though we're in our valley. He's got more to give us, but when we quit giving to him a way to get it to us, and we keep our money, oh Lord, in our heart, but we're not giving it to God, truly to God. Oh, look, we already did tithes. Don't worry about it. It's done. Don't worry about it. Stop it. I felt y'all in here. I'm going to do a second offering now.
I'm just playing.
Calm down. But what he wants to do is to get you to understand the very scripture when the prophet comes to the widow and their children are about to be taken away. But this is what she tells the prophet. My husband, who has died, was a prophet also. Some of y'all may not like this. I'm not going to be like that prophet that left my wife and my children in debt. What did this prophet have to do? Tell the widow what you got in your house. What do you have in your house that God can use? I got a little oil. The prophet says, that's what we're going to use.
Now go get some jars. Go get some jars. This can help somebody. It's going to help somebody, man. It's going to help you. It's going to help you. Go get some jars, man. And if you got to go irritate some neighbors to get those jars, go knock on the neighbor's door. Yeah, the one that you don't talk to, the one you don't witness to, the one you don't even know whether they're saved or not, that one. Go knock on that door. Yes, may I help you? I need to borrow some jars. What kind of jars? Empty ones. We don't keep empties here. I need you to empty something out so that I can have the empty jar. I don't want your content. I want the empty jar. Are you following this? She had to go ask other people to get involved in her breakthrough. So for those of you that I can get my church on the internet, I can get it from this pastor. I get my church from you. I ain't even seen you one time in the church. Your blessing comes from the one that you sit next to and the one that you keep. Oh, come on. Just nudge Moses, right? Just nudge Moses. Just nudge him. Just nudge him. Just nudge him. Nudge your neighbor and say, I need you to empty out your content. I need you to empty out your content because God's about to restore to me what something I need, but I need an empty vessel so that I can get something poured into me that is necessary for where I gotta go. I need you to empty you so that I could use an empty vessel so I can receive from God. What is he saying? Why did the prophet go to that widow? Why? Because you had to make sure that something was empty so that you could receive what is rightfully yours. You had to receive this. And then the one that gave it is gone. There's been people in your life that have been attached to you, connected to you for a season, and now they're gone. But you feel empty. You feel disconnected. God says, that's not what it's about. I'm about to fill you up. I'm about to give you what you need. I'm about to get someone to come and give you oil. But it's not going to be the traditional way you used to get it. You're going to have to go to someone and irritate them. I need you to empty all that you got. Because that's not what I want. I want the vessel is more important than your content. Are you hearing this? I'm not after your money. Churches aren't after your money. If that's what you're looking at, then you're missing the whole concept. God wants you to get rid of that thing that is keeping you from getting God. So if it takes someone to get up on stage and tell you it's time for your tithes and offering, you better run up and get rid of it. Because your praise is coming back. Your position is coming back. And you'll be facing a brand new day, Delphina. A brand new day. Because you're standing at the temple. And you are standing at the door. The east represents a new day that is on the horizon. And whatever you've been facing is about to change. My God. I'm not in a jazz club right now. I'm not in a jazz club. I'm in a battle. I'm in a ring. I'm in a ring. Getting ready to face Mr. T. I'm in a ring. Maybe I'm facing a giant that I don't think I can beat. Maybe I don't know I can really win this battle. This fight is too much for me. But something deep down inside of you says, if you empty that fear out, I will give you faith and I will give you strength. And I will give you rest that you will overcome what's been facing you. Look at here. Just calm down, 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 calm down. Just calm down, calm down. Whoosh, whoosh. I hope you hear this first. You've been fighting a fight with fear inside of you. Before you ever faced the opponent, you never faced the real fear. And that thing that's deep down inside of you is keeping you from getting that very promise that's ahead of you. It's the fear that has been trickling down through a spirit because it got into a place, the inner place. Do you understand that this spirit made its residence inside the room of the treasure? Do you understand that? Not only did it make residence there, it was also resident where the anointing oil was at. This spirit makes itself comfortable until you go and find it and get rid of it. You got to deal with it. Nobody else. You. Because somewhere inside, we've allowed it to take residence. We've allowed it to be a part of us, even in our worship. Because at times in your worship, you may not feel it, so you'll stop. I don't like this song. It's never been about a song. Well, I want to sing, but they're going to make fun of me. God doesn't. God says, sing unto me with a joyful noise. Joyful noise. Joy, how are you going to give a joyful noise if you're always looking down, always walking around defeated? You praise him for who he is. It may feel uncomfortable, but once that joy starts to come up from the inside and it begins to come out, what comes out of your mouth now becomes now the spirit of Zebulun. The prophetic and understanding of God that is sitting there at the side of the gate of Judah. Because in your praise and in your worship, the prophetic unction of God now begins to move, and you can release it in the atmosphere, and you can release from your praise prophetic unction and discerning of time. And then on the other side of that, you can also have the understanding that God has favored you. Your praise needs to come from within. He positioned it in the tabernacle for a reason. He positioned them before the high priest and before the prophet so that they can begin to receive what you're getting before they even get it. Are you hearing me? So whatever's been creeping in and keeping you from getting your blessing, it's about to turn around. It's about to turn around. And that's only determined by you. By you, Pastor, you need to pray for me. I'll pray for you. Well, how about if I have you stand up here and I have you pray? Are you hearing me? What if I activate you to be praying? Even though when it don't feel right. You're facing a giant that's not afraid to tell you that he's taking your stuff. Make residence. I ain't worried about you giving. I ain't worried about you praising. I'm going to be right here. You made me very comfortable anyhow. And I'm going to take residence where it hurts. Because if I can take your provisions and I can take your praise, I've already got your mind. And I'm going to take residence right here in the middle of your worship. And unless your worship becomes pure. When your worship becomes pure, it can begin to shift. It can make this spirit very agitated.
No longer. Okay, now y'all are now.
Now, as your praise is sincere, them that worship him in spirit and in truth. Now that spirit says, hold up now. It's there. No. Hey. That spirit says, oh, they're changing. No. I need y'all to be quiet. No. I need you to stop. No, don't pray. What you're doing is you're taking the seat back. And you're saying, you can't have this no more. I'm taking this back and putting it back to the honor of God. You can't take my praise. You can't take my worship. You can't take my prophetic word. You can't take my promise. Why? Because the letter was sent. What letter? The word of God was sent. And you break every cord. You sever every cord. You take back the seat in which a spirit took over from you. And what do? You get rid of it. You get rid of it and you take your position. You get repositioned. As you get repositioned, my God, you get back into position. And when you get back into position, now the devil is on the run. He may come at you one way, but he's going to flee seven different ways. Why? Because the church is getting back into position. It's taking its rightful place. Are you hearing this? My. Praise. Woo! It is the praise unto the Father. It is the worship that will establish you in the kingdom of God. The oil kept pouring out for the widow until the last jar was filled. I want you to just nudge your neighbor a little bit. Tell him, I want you to give me your empty vessel. Give me your empty vessel. I'm not after your money. I'm not after your husband. I ain't after your wife. I ain't after your ministry or your children. I just want the empty vessel. Why? Because if you're empty, I get filled and you get filled. My. Woo! Oh, yeah. You start driving some stuff out the way. And if you gotta knock on some doors that you ain't comfortable knocking in, you just knock and knock and knock. You get so irritating that they get up. What do you want? I want you to empty your pot so I can take my pot. Are you hearing this? You gotta knock. And don't stop knocking. You gotta go get your stuff. You gotta go and get it if it's been taken. You gotta stand in positions. I'm gonna irritate you to the point you gotta give me what I'm after. And if you are facing something that's been opposing you too long, you're gonna look that thing square in his eyes. Said, I don't hear no bell. I ain't going down no more. I ain't going down no more. I am going to stand and I'm going to fight to the very end. And I ain't going to fight fair, but I'm going to fight with word. I'm going to fight with praise. And I'm going to fight with the prophetic unction of God. And I'm going to tell you that on the cross he says, it is finished. I'm going to remind you of your destiny. Because my destiny is still being discovered. And I'm going to follow it all the way to the end. Even if turmoil comes, I'm going to shake it off. Even if opposition comes, I'm going to shake it off. I'm going to keep on climbing. Keep on keeping on. You got to get it in your spirit. You can't take me out unless God says it's time. But you can help me get in. Because if you want to come and curse me,
All that's going to do is bless me. My, my, my. We're going to drive some things all the way out of Dodge. If I ruffle some feathers, look at your neighbor, look at your neighbor. If I ruffle some feathers, it's because you're getting ready to soar. Woo-wee! If I have ruffled the nest, it's because you're getting ready to soar. The prophetic of God begins to be the wind of God that will get you out of your comfort zone. Ha. Woo. Woohoo. Clint, lift up your hands, Clint. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. What was rightfully yours and that was not released became seed. And as it became seed, it's going to produce a greater harvest for you. A greater harvest. You heard God right, but you were done wrong. But when you're done wrong, God turns a curse into a blessing. Every time a curse tried to come your way, God says, how can I curse what's already been blessed? I'm telling you, sir, when I looked up at you right now, I saw stalks real big. Stalks. They were already gathered and tied, and they were standing straight up. But the very heads, the kernel, where it's really the blessing, was bent over, and it was coming over your head. That's God saying, because you have been faithful with little, He's given an increase to you. What matters the most to you is not even money. It's coming through your sons and your daughters. It's coming through your children, because that is seed. Seed. The distance, my God, that had kept you is no longer a distant valley, but now is a bridge by the anointing of God that brings the closeness and brings about the relationship that is necessary for you to speak into their life. What you thought that you were this far away from the progression of your wife this far, you have now been catapulted to a different dimension. Hear this. This is for a lot of you in here thinking that your spouse is the one that is at a different level than you. When I look at my wife, I look at me. When she looks at me, she's looking at herself. We've become one. How can two walk on the same path lest they become one? I hear this by the very Spirit and the anointing of God. Revelation is coming to you. You're going to read something, and you're like, I've read this thing 100 times. When I heard Our Father who art in heaven, I thought it was a prayer that I learned a long time ago. But I see something different, something that I've never seen before. And then you're going to go irritate your wife by waking her up in the middle of the night. Well, how you pray? You know, I got to go. I'm just giving you an example. Just an example. But it's all coming because you've asked. Because you've asked, and then you're going to start sharing. And every time something comes, you're going to use her as a sounding board. You're going to release it to her. And she says, yep, yep, watch. Look at this. This is the dream that I had. You see what you're just showing me? Here's the dream that I had written 3 months ago. And you're sharing with me now. I have an understanding. Get ready, because you're about to experience something right now that you have the interpretation of dreams in your mouth. You have the understanding of the dreams that you've been asking for. Your wife has been praying for. The three amigas right here. The three amigas right here have been praying for you. Have that understanding. Hey. Out of your mouth, sir. Out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. Out of your mouth is fire. Fire. Fire is coming out of your mouth. You're going to begin to minister the word as you begin to counsel. 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 You have been brought, people have been brought to you, and you've been speaking encouraging words. You're just talking. But counsel, the spirit of counsel is inside of you. But it's going to come up like fire that is going to bring healing to a people. Hear me, Gayla. Hear me. There's going to be healing that is coming.
healing that is coming, and it's going to come out of his mouth, because they're going to turn around and say, how did you? How did you? How did you know? It says nothing but the Spirit of God. I'm telling you. Now, because this has been brought to surface, pray. Pray. The moment that Nehemiah got the instructions and started moving towards it, that's when hatred came. That's when jealousy came. That's when all kinds of persecution came. Pray. Because what you've been praying for these men to do, they have stepped into their position. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I celebrate you. I celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. My, 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 my. Woo. My, my, my. Oh, he's here. He's here. He's here. Two angels entered the back room. Two angels entered the back room. The angel to my left that is standing right behind you, sir, standing right behind you. Sword is drawn. The sword is drawn. The shield is lifted up. And this angel is warned on behalf of a nation to bring about healing and restoration. The angel to my right is not facing this direction, but is facing outward. And I see the helmet. And this helmet that was banged up on one side, but the other side was so radiant. And it was silver. And it's facing outwardly. Redemption is the name of the angel. And the angel has come to bring redemption to the people of God. There's a redeeming fire that has taken place in the body of Christ. That you've been purified like fine silver. That the dross has come to surface. And now the dross is being removed. The impurities is being removed. And now the angel face outwardly. Like Ezra took the word out of the temple and read the word out in the open square. This angel is the angel of harvest and the angel of restoration. That stands now saying, I am the Redeemer that is living today to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I loose now under the very prophetic utterance of God that you will see the very word of God be manifest and demonstrated in the days to come. You will see a demonstration of the power of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. That the angels will begin to hearken unto the words of prophets across the land and bring about healing, because the prophets have aligned themselves with the word of God, have inclined their ear and their hearts to the Spirit of the living God. And because the prophets have taken position
generation. The fathers, the apostles, are raising up sons and daughters. The church is getting in position to begin to birth in the atmosphere. Revival! Revival! Now in the name of Jesus. My God, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. We are humbled by your presence. The Spirit of the living God, have your way. Third person of the Trinity, have your way. Spirit of the living God, have your way in this house. Have your way in the lives of your people, oh God. Have your way. Yes, Lord, thank you. I heard that. Witchcraft is being broken off of people's lives. Curses that have been invoked are being broken and done away with. Physical curses against your body are being severed right now in the name of Jesus. Against your mind, against your heart, against your organs, and against your body. It's being severed right now in the name of Jesus. Severed right now in the name of Jesus. The cord has been severed in the name of Jesus. Someone that has been given over. Thank you, Jesus. My. To the angels of darkness. Given before birth. Dedicated before birth. The angel now stands to war against this lineage that is infiltrated through the DNA and is breaking off and severing the very blood tie. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the Son of the living God, who has died and resurrected on the third day, has sent notice now unto you. Every witch and every warlock, every curse that has been sent, has been broken and severed. Every child that has gone through the fire, that has been given up to the spirit of Moloch, is now being canceled in the name of Jesus. The DNA has been wiped clean. The blood has been transformed. The curse is reversed. The blessing is loosed. There is nothing that will take hold of you no more, beloved. You will see this spirit no more, for I have blotted it out of your memory, out of your lineage and your DNA. You shall see this spirit no more. My God. Woo. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way in this house, Lord. Lord, I make this personal, Lord. Have your way in the house of men. Have your way in the house of men. Release the treasure, oh God. Release the anointing, the oil. What has been contaminated, we sanctify it. And we place your blood, oh God, over the articles of the temple. We anoint it with oil to sanctify it, to separate it from daily use, but to be used for the very Spirit of God, for the services of the temple. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you that we walk in unison with the Spirit of the living God, that you've ordered our steps and we walk these things out. Father, I give you praise and honor and glory to your name right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for victory. I thank you that marriages that have been on the rocks, Lord, they stand on you, the rock, and turn things around. Remove an influence that has come in, that has brought division to the family. We speak right now in the name of Jesus and release right now. Release the covenants that have been in bondage now in Jesus' mighty name.
We thank you for it now. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Whew. I pray that you hear this and hear this by the Spirit of the living God. There is a wind that precedes the shift and the change. There's a sound that comes before the war. Trumpets are sounding. And because the trumpets are sounding, those that hear it come and they answer. Those that do not hear it miss it. They miss it. Don't miss your opportunity. Listen. I pray over the ear gates right now in the name of Jesus that you open the ear gates to hear through the spiritual ears that which God is doing in the atmosphere so they can hear and receive. I pray over the eyes, oh God, the portals of their soul, that they begin to see with panoramic views and begin to see in the spiritual realm what you have for the body of Christ. And Father, I pray over the mouth, oh God, that like that of the seraphim angel that holds the coals from the throne, that it purifies their words and let it only be the word of God that comes forth. And let it be a word that the angels will hearken unto to bring it into existence. Father, as I place right now the mighty hand of the Savior upon their heart. Lord, where they received you, they received all of you. Not a portion, but all of the King. And I thank you right now, Father, that you guard their heart, that you protect their heart, and you keep them, O God, so that the passion for the people and the passion for your gospel work in tandem together with you. I thank you for it now. And now, Father, I pray over the very feet that carry your gospel, the good news. Father, that you lighten their feet, but you steady their walk. And Lord, I just pray right now that they continue to run and not get weary and continue to do the very will of God that you've ordained for their life. I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you leave, I want you to go and hug your neighbor and say, I'm glad you emptied yourself today. Don't leave here the same. Walk out of here changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to remember something. This Thursday, no service on Thursday. It's Thanksgiving Day. House of Manna will reconvene here next Sunday, but we will not have service on Thursday. Amen. I bless you guys. I love you, and we will see you on Sunday. Happy Thanksgiving. Give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. God bless you guys.